What's up? Welcome to Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Bolin. I'm here with Dylan Sugar.
What's up, Bill?
And Dan Regester.
What up? What up?
What's going on, guys? We're here to talk sports.
We are,
as always.
And we just had the Super Bowl. One of the greatest sporting events in televised history.
It's been a great year for finals.
It really has.
In general.
Championships.
Yeah. For all three. Well.
College basketball,
plus
too.
Plus college football.
College football, college basketball.
So it counts for the year 2016,
Villanova,
right?
Game winner. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Philly actually had a parade. It was awesome.
We're talking about the year of 2016, right? That's what it counts
sports
for?
Year, 2016, 2017.
It's not a calendar year.
Right. Well, yeah, but if you had to call it, it'd be 2016.
Sure, yeah.
Because the war, yeah.
It's 2016 yeah. NFL season, although Super Bowl is
in
February.
No, but I'm saying
yeah.
that the year that we're talking about that collectively has had a shitload of awesome championships.
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah, anyway. Before we get into it any further, let's talk about Man Outfitters at manoutfitters.com. We've got a promo code you can use. It's BDC, as in backdoor cover, BDC10 for 10% off your whole order. On manoutfitters.com, we just picked up a new brand, Vineyard Vines.
Yeah, maybe you've heard of it.
We are I think we're the first online retailer they've opened in like 15 years or something like that.
Or just like ever. Yeah.
Something crazy. So it's a big deal, and we're trying to push Vineyard hard. So get on there, buy some Vineyard Vines, use the code BDC10 for 10% off. We've also got a bunch of Yeti stuff, Patagonia, Travis Matthew, Mizzen & Main, Costa, Kohan, other brands like that. But really do get on there, check out the Vineyard Vines section. We put a lot of hard work into that, and it is brand new. So get on there, manoutfitters.com. All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl as a whole.
Unbelievable.
In summation, yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't like to see the rich get richer, so this was a pretty devastating game for me. Well, on multiple levels. We'll get to the other part later on, but I was pulling hard for the Falcons because I don't like to see teams pull away, dynasties pull away, of course, unless it's my team. I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't want to see the Patriots or the Steelers or any of these teams just stack on another trophy.
I don't think any real sports fan does. The people that are okay with that are casual watchers. If you're okay with, if you're not a Patriots person and you're like, man, it's cool seeing this dynasty.
I appreciate greatness. When it's a team that's not in my division.
The most hateable team maybe in sports history besides the Yankees.
I pull for individual greatness. I don't like to see teams do well.
I like Brady a lot.
I don't dislike Brady at all. That's not what this is about.
It is a little for me. I mean, I don't dislike Brady, but the Patriots as an organization are very hateable.
Yeah.
For the amount of success they've had over the time span.
They have an obnoxious, spoiled brat fan base.
They have a ridiculous fan base.
I think it's more the fan base. The team as a whole, I feel, is very likable. Gronk, Brady, Edelman, like Amendola.
You're talking about the players.
I think the players as a whole are like very likable.
But the organization and the franchise as a whole is very hateable. They have great, lovable players. Like Gronk is one of the most lovable players in professional sports, hands down. Easily.
You cannot like Gronk.
Marcellus Bennett.
Martellus Bennett's awesome, yeah. I mean, Edelman's kind of a little bitch.
Martellus Bennett's a clown. What are you talking about?
No, he's cool.
He's not cool.
Oh, okay.
Did he go to A&M?
Yeah. That's not why.
You probably know more about him than I do. All I know about him is his Twitter's. He like just wrote a children's book where the main character's black because there's only 2% of children's books that have an African-American main character. Mm. That's funny to me. Not the statistic. Martellus Bennett writing a children's book is funny to me. Anyway, but the organization is hateable because they've been busted for, Spygate, Deflategate, the whole beef with Goodell, winning, like, 6 Super Bowls over the last 15 years. Like, it just
But who's Team Goodell? Like, who's actually on Goodell's side?
No one.
Right. So it's like,
I think Ross is just pointing out that they have been busted
multiple times for
bending
cheating.
The rules.
But everyone is.
In the combination.
Okay, everyone. Who else has?
There's like an entire website. I'll have to find it for
just Micah. Give me one other example.
For Micah to post, I'll find the website. There's this entire breakdown of every team that's like the infractions that they've broken in the last like 15 years.
Yeah, but it's, you're taking things too literally. The fact is,
I mean, the Steelers just got popped for Deflategate too, and nobody said a peep
because they lost.
Yeah, but
the combination of winning and cheating is very hateable. Is the only thing I'm saying. I'm not saying whether or not it's right or wrong. I'm not saying other teams don't cheat. I'm saying the Patriots have been busted repeatedly on a huge media scale when winning Super Bowls, which makes them an extremely hateable team.
And I think people get tired of seeing the same teams like be successful. I think that's a huge factor.
Well, it's the new Northeast area. What the fuck is the name of that kid?
The McGillicuddy kid.
Is his name really McGillicuddy?
No.
That's just what they call him. Okay,
I have no idea.
Yeah.
This kid in Boston who's like, what, 15 years old, and he's seen...
He's 15 now.
10 parades, 12 parades.
This is the third year that he's shown up to these parades holding a sign. And the first one, I guess he was 9 or so, and it said 9 years old. Wait, I guess he was 11.
It's like every other year.
11 years old, like 8 parades or whatever the first one was. He showed up 2 years later, said 13 years old, you know, 10 parades, and now he's at, I guess, is it 11?
It's 15 years old,
10 parades.
He's got the logo of each team that's one, like, you know, so there's like 6 Pats logos, a couple Bruins logos, Red Sox logo, whatever. And that's another reason the Patriots are extremely hateable, because the Northeast is the most, Boston, New England area is the most spoiled bunch of, like, it's at the point where they don't even really give a shit. Like, them winning a Super Bowl is so much less significant than to another city. It's just like winning a regular game. Like, watching them celebrate in the stands and shit, like, people that should have been crying or, like, losing their minds were just like, yeah, we did it, all right.
We're on in the preseason.
It's expected. They expect
it
to happen.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's just, like, I was trying to wrap my head around that. I've had 2 championships in Houston since I was born, both of which can be argued that they only happened because Michael Jordan was retired, and I wasn't quite old enough to completely appreciate them. Like, I can't imagine winning a championship like every other year and just being like, eh.
This might be a hot take, but I don't think they're the most spoiled sports fans in the world.
Who is the most spoiled then?
No, I'm saying since they win so much, it's actually bad to be a fan.
That it's a
in
burden?
The Boston area. Yeah.
How?
Like, you just okay, become... Dan. No. Hear me out. They don't enjoy their championships as much as like me or you. Like, when the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, I went berserk. I rioted. Like, it was the greatest moment of my life. But now that they've won so many championships back to back to back, it's just like another, you know, it's just kind of like to the point where when you're, it's kind of, I'm making an analogy.
I understand.
Where like Kanye West or like somebody that's a celebrity has had so much sex that they just like, normal sex doesn't do it for them, you know?
Right. No, I get what you're saying. And there's definitely a degree of that. I'm sure, like, it's the same thing I'm talking about. It's like it doesn't affect you as much. It's not as special.
Right.
And for sure. But I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and I just fucking hate everybody from Boston and New England. I don't understand how
the accent.
They're so spoiled. And they fucking love rubbing it in. Let me put it this way. The degree that they enjoy it less because it's not special to them, they make up for with incessant shit talking and rubbing it in everyone's faces,
yeah,
so that it's just as enjoyable.
If you're going to lose on a stage like that, if you're going to lose a Super Bowl or a World Series, an NBA championship, you don't want to do it to a Boston team,
dude,
because their fans are obnoxious.
All right, enough about Boston. Enough about New England. Let's talk about the poor people of Atlanta, who had this game wrapped up with a bow on it, and then it just burst into flames. I can't. They haven't won a Super Bowl since.
They've never won a Super Bowl.
They've never won a Super Bowl?
No.
They haven't won a championship.
I think they're
one of
8 teams that haven't won a Super Bowl.
A really long fuck. It'd be like if the Texans made the Super Bowl and were up by 25 points and then blew it to the Patriots, I would blow my head off.
Yeah. Or at least take a month off from work and just go soul searching.
I mean, there'd be some serious like psychological long-term damage.
Well, I mean, when the Eagles lost the Super Bowl in 2004, to the Patriots, I was a teenager. I think 14, and I think that was the last time I cried. This is the last time I've been through funerals, breakups, everything. But the last time I cried was the Eagles losing the Super Bowl.
When your team is up 25 points in the third quarter in the Super Bowl, in your mind, you're celebrating.
It was over.
You're celebrating. So you have to go from this emotional high, the highest of highs that it gets in sports, if you're a fan, to the absolute lowest, just like that, in a matter of, I don't know, it took 30 minutes for it to unfold, I guess.
It was incredible, because they kept throwing out, like, no team has ever come back from more than 10 points.
No team's behind. Ever thrown a pick six.
They were down
25 and won the game.
In the third.
And when they started racking up those no team has ever done this stats, I was like, well, fuck, maybe this is really over. And then when they got up to 25 points, I was like, Jesus, this is...
It's not even past the 25 points. It's when they were up one score, Julio makes that catch, they're in... it's like a 30-yard field goal. All they have to do is run the ball, kick that field goal.
It was more than
a
30-yard field goal, I think.
It was pretty close.
35-yard field goal.
It was an easy field goal for Matt Bryant, and all they had to do was pretty much they could take three knees, kick the field goal, game's over. Like
they were up two scores, right? Or they would be up two scores if they had taken that field goal.
I would have put it at 11 points.
Matt Ryan, like
that was just an
Matt Ryan taking that sack, like you can. Very Philly-esque.
He shouldn't even have been in the position to take the sack, is the point.
It was very poor play
call.
Just
run the fucking ball. What are they doing?
And they ran the ball well the whole first half.
So they take the 9-yard sack, 10-yard sack. They get the holding call the next play. And then they have to punt because they're out of field goal.
And that's when you started to realize
it's like, no, there was two and a half minutes left in the game. Brady gets the ball back. I think two timeouts. You're like, all right. Patriots won this game. Like, this is going to OT. You know, the Patriots are going to score. They're going to get that 2-point conversion. And they're going to get the coin toss because, like, that's just how it's going to work out.
It was over.
They weren't going to come back and Brady wasn't going to fail.
They didn't make it a 2-score game. It was over. There was no way in hell that wasn't going to unfold perfectly and just shit all over the people of Atlanta. Did you see the video of Lil Bow Wow? You know, noted rapper Lil Bow Wow from
basketball is my favorite.
Early 2000s fame.
I like that way they dribble up and down the court.
Okay.
Sure. He was at the game, and when the Falcons were up by like 25, he's putting up these videos on social media of him like talking shit, basically.
Oh, no.
Saying, oh, the Patriots' time's over. It was cute. You had all your Super Bowls. It was cute. He kept saying that. It was cute, but now's our time.
That's
Atlanta, baby,
look.
Like, rise up. It's fucking over. This fucking shit is over. Like, I think he threw, like, a throat slash in there. And then he puts up another video, like, 30 minutes later. He's just beaten down, like, what the fuck is happening? What the fuck is going on, man? Damn it. Like, you could see just, like, the pain in his eyes. It was fucking great. But I felt bad for Atlanta fans, man, and the city as a whole. Like, you don't recover from that. That's one of the worst choke jobs. As great of a comeback as it was
more so on the Falcons fucking up than it was the Patriots.
It was a brutal choke job.
The first half, they're just flying around the field, putting up points, destroying Brady. Like, Brady awful first half.
There were like a couple of drives where the Falcons just had to get a first down to extend and burn clock to like put the game on ice, and they just couldn't do it.
But the defense went from putting Brady on his ass like every other play to just like going prevent D, just kind of like
shredded.
Getting shredded.
And when the Patriots won the coin toss in overtime, there's not a single person in the world who thought that there's no way they're going to score a touchdown.
Oh,
there.
The entire Atlanta,
it was absolutely over at that
every
point.
Player on the Atlanta
I almost turned it off.
Must have been like, well, we blew this. We really fucking did it.
When they won the coin toss,
it was
100% over at that point.
I just couldn't. It was heartbreaking, man, to watch. That was really bad. The Falcons will always be that franchise that blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl to Tom Brady to give him his sixth ring.
Well, the Patriots scored 31 straight. 3-1, 3-1, 31. So you're 31.
I can't handle any more 3-1 theories, but...
A lot of tweets.
Yeah, what else? What other things about the Super Bowl? The Pats fucking covered. After being down 25.
The Pats covered.
They covered -3.
The
over obviously hit.
Like I said, Lady Gaga brought it.
Hey,
you guys weren't looking forward to
fantastic.
It.
Is Austin the biggest city without any kind of professional sports team of any kind?
Well, we got to be one of them.
I think is the biggest city without one. I think Austin's the 10th largest city in the country now.
It's the biggest flaw in this city aside from...
Do we deserve a
team,
though?
I get really envious of people who live in cities who have sports teams, like professional sports teams. I really do.
Like,
I
mean, are we talking Big Four? Because there's cities that have like MLS teams.
No, like you don't want that. You don't want like an MLS. I'm talking hockey, football, baseball, or basketball. Micah?
According to the United States Mayors Association, Austin is the 11th biggest city, and the other 10 all have professional sports teams in the Big Four. San Jose is number 10, and they have a hockey team. And all the other nine have NBA,
baseball,
or football, or that sucks. A combination.
I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Spurs fan. I'm a Texas Rangers fan.
You're from Austin.
I'm from Austin. We don't have a team. I'm looking at cities all around me, and I just pluck out which ones I would like to become a fan of. And I hate that shit.
But
I want my own team. I want my own. Like, if I tell someone I'm a Cowboys fan, they assume it's because, oh, the Cowboys had this big run in the 90s, and I'm just kind of a bandwagoner. But that's not what it is. Houston's closer to Austin.
Well, but Houston didn't exist for the majority of your life.
Yeah, there were the Oilers.
Well, they're the Oilers.
But you're not going to fall into Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, I mean, there was a huge gap where Houston did not have a football team. It was not an option for you to bandwagon. Plus, you hate Houston.
So I guess the point I'm saying is Atlanta, at least you have a team.
But are you an outlier?
Like, Atlanta, at least you have a football
team. At least you have
a team.
Are you an outlier, though, in Austin? Isn't everybody in Austin pretty much not from Austin?
It is a big transplant city.
It is for sure.
Everyone has their team.
They call us unicorns.
But there's a lot of
Austin needs a team. I don't care which sport it is, as long as it's not soccer.
And here's what
I'll say: hockey.
Now, if we get a team, they're gonna put the stadium out by that fucking F1 track because there's nowhere else to put it, and then it's just ruins it all.
You see, if Austin does get a team, though, I think it's gonna be an MLS team. This seems like an MLS.
I'd rather not have a team.
Oh God! No.
People
no
say
point.
that the University of Texas is our default professional team, but they suck.
That's
in
true.
In every single sport, they're terrible.
Just because they're bad doesn't mean like every single team in Philadelphia is terrible right now. But I'm still a fan.
That's not what I'm saying, Dan. Of course, I'm still a fan.
You know
but they suck and they're not fun to watch.
I would love an MLS team because I don't give a fuck about the Houston Dynamo, and they won like 5 championships in a row or something. I don't even care. I would love an MLS team in Austin because that would be something I could truly buy into and become a real fan of.
I would not support them.
I'm already filled up in all the other areas, man. I can't have a fucking Austin basketball or football or baseball team like messing up what I'm rooting for.
How badass would it be if Austin got a pro baseball team?
Pretty cool.
It'd be so tight.
How about a pro lacrosse team?
No. I want a Big Four. A Big Four team.
What else? So the Pats finished the season at 16-3 against the spread. We had a bunch of celebrity pickers last week. Mia Khalifa had the her heart said Falcons, but her brain said Pats. 20-17 was her pick.
It's a low score. She missed on that, but she got
got the general sentiment. Fucking Wolf had Falcons +3 and the under. He is a 2-time loser. Tim Livingston of theleadsports.com had Pats 31-17. He was the closest out of everybody we had pick. And then Alex George of The Chive had Falcons outright in the under 21-27. Now, Alex George is an example of somebody that I just feel bad for. She was in Houston.
She's
from Atlanta. Was not at the game, but she was in Houston to root on the Falcons at a bar drinking, Snapchatting.
I was messaging her the whole time, like, congratulations. Like,
I mean... And then she was just defeated. Yeah. I was on a text chain with her and Mia because they were supposed to take over our Snapchat, and then they got too drunk and didn't. But at one point in the night, I get a text message from Mia that just says, "Where are you?" to this text chain that's just us three. And I mean, very clearly, she did not mean to send it to the text chain. She meant to send it to Alex, but I was like in my living room. She didn't even know where Alex is. Alex is so devastated that she's like run from the
walking
bar
the streets,
at, like walking, the, yeah, searching for
head down,
searching for
she's
answers
had a clear head.
In the streets of Houston. But anyway, sorry
poor
to her.
Poor Alex.
But yeah, we want to talk about Gaga a little bit.
Yeah.
Again.
I will say this: people were like, "Man, that roof jump, that was pre-recorded, right?" And I was like, "No, that was live. I thought it was live.
I did too."
I was fighting for her, lying to people.
I thought it was live until I saw her falling. I was like, yeah, there's just too much logistical that has to go right.
Why
there
did
for
they
that
open
to,
up
to
the
pull that off?
Roof then?
Just for the appearance.
To give you the illusion.
Yeah.
Man. The illusion.
It's like a $25,000 illusion. but I, overall, I'm not like a Lady Gaga fan. Like, you're a Lady Gaga fan.
I think her music's great.
You're a little monster.
She's great.
She is.
Call yourself a little monster.
I'm a little monster. Okay. Stand up, little monsters.
But I'm not a fan. I think she's extremely talented and a fucking weirdo, which I love.
Yep.
But she's an entertainer.
She puts
on a show.
This was better than I even could have possibly expected.
She brought it.
That was incredible.
That was one of the best ones I remember.
I think
halftime shows.
Oh, yeah. It might have been my favorite halftime show ever. Because it was just her. She didn't bring out a bunch. She wasn't like, and now the lead singer of
Bruno
Aerosmith.
Mars.
Or like,
but
yeah.
Bruno Mars would have been awesome.
Fucking no, dude. Enough Bruno Mars.
She didn't bring out Mr. Worldwide on the stage.
Right. Like, no more. Quit bringing out Cubans.
Like, Slash
to pick up the slack.
Slash didn't come out with his guitar.
The country of Cuba has been picking up the slack for untalented Americans for too long. No more. No more Bruno Mars. No more Mr. Worldwide. No more Pitbull. It was just Gaga. And she didn't need anybody else.
Let's pump the brakes and not say no more Bruno Mars. Like, he can come every few years.
I'm starting to turn on Bruno. We don't need to talk. This is about Gaga. And she was a champion. She did great.
She's a musical prodigy. You probably didn't know that.
She can't dance for shit, which makes it even more enjoyable. I like her more because she doesn't care that she sucks at dancing.
But she's got pipes.
She's just still doing it. She's up there fucking...
She's selling the whole thing.
She looks like a puppet when she dances.
Well, I mean, she was legitimately held up by strings.
Yeah, that also.
That might have something to do with it.
She actually like was technically a puppet for part of that performance. But yeah, I mean, I thought she was awesome. No she didn't bring any bullshit into it. There was no like political statement or any of that. Crap.
Some people were like getting after her for that on Twitter. Like, you have this stage. Why didn't you say
something?
Fuck
those people.
Fuck those people.
Just entertain me. I don't want to hear your bullshit. I hate that. Fuck those people.
Shay, whatever his name is, one of the guys on Saturday Night Live that does Weekend Update, the black dude, had a good point. He said he finally understood what it was like to be like a white person who he was like, just give me football. I'm tired. After this past year, I don't want any more political statements or protests. Just let me enjoy this game. Do not ruin this for me. And I'm glad she didn't, man. That was definitely a concern. As it got closer and closer, I was like, fuck. She's going to come out in like full blackface or something and do some outrageous political statement, and it's going to be hell.
Nope, she did. No, God bless America.
She also has a little... I'm gonna rip on Snapchat for a second. You know how Snapchat has the Discover section?
Yeah. I never use it, but yeah.
Well, it's because it's garbage. Everything in there is...
I think companies pay like millions of dollars.
They do.
There.
But everything in there is like puffed up bullshit stories. And here's a great example of one. Day after the Super Bowl, there's a Discover tab. It's one of the first ones on there. And it says, Lady Gaga fights back after belly attack.
Oh, yeah.
Some
I saw
shit.
This, I saw this
and
story.
What it was they made a whole Snapchat story about the fact that basically she doesn't have washboard abs. She's got a little bit of flab on the belly.
A little tiny pudge.
Like a fucking normal human being.
Yeah.
And she doesn't give a shit, clearly. She never has. She's never been in like incredible shape. That's not like, that's like part of her brand is being like an every woman who she.
Her brand now?
It's always been part of it.
She's getting away from it. No, wait. Whoa. Do you remember the stuff she used to wear? That was not every woman.
Okay, no. Fashion-wise, no. But body image-wise and, like, all that shit, yeah, she's not Beyonce. She's not some, you know, super incredibly sexy.
She's still in pretty good shape. I find her attractive.
Point being, people were more like, Lady Gaga's fat. It's like, dude, no, she's not. But the Snapchat story thing was about one sentence about how she fought back against the people who were making fun of her stomach. And the whole rest of it was just unflattering pictures of her stomach. Like, they were just, it was just bullshit, man. It really pissed me off.
But I saw that headline all over the internet on Monday, I guess. People, I think because Twitter.
Yeah, because like for Twitter, millions decided like that they're like, they just sent out tweets saying Lady Gaga's not.
When millions of people are
shit.
Tweeting about the same topic, you know, and she's on stage and there might be a couple of bad shots. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of people talking badly about her, but it's not enough to make a story out of it.
How bad do you guys feel for Katie Nolan? hosting that like social media segment between halftime.
I don't even think I saw that.
I missed what you're talking about.
No, it's like
so pretty bad.
Pretty much every big event has like this. So they always get somebody to do like the social media and they just read off tweets.
Like the hashtag, trending hashtag.
I just feel like Katie Nolan's above that at this point.
The fucking Wolf went and saw, was on Katie Nolan's stage live in Houston for her show.
Mm-hmm.
She has her own show, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
On Fox Sports.
Yeah, okay.
Did we see him?
So,
on,
yeah, I'm talking about
the right
on
person. Screen?
I think it's Garbage Time.
No, fucking Wolf was there, though. He did not get on the screen, but he saw, he was at the show. He got tickets to the show.
Did he ask her out?
There. I think he got a picture with her. He wouldn't stop texting about how like horned up he was by how hot she is, which was a little disturbing.
That's
to be
so
quite,
Wolf, though.
To be quite frank. But yeah, only other thing I have that I really wanted to talk about is Brady's fucking kid dabbing his ass off at the victory parade. I that kid's life is going to be so fucking weird. His mom is the most famous supermodel of all time. Like the
one of highest paid, one of the most famous.
One of the most famous of all time. His dad is Tom
Brady. Greatest quarterback of all time.
Like
good genetics.
They're both extremely good-looking people.
You have to do drugs if you're this kid.
He has a very small chance of being a normal person.
Was that actually one of his kids with Giselle, or was it his kid with the other girl? Was it John?
This is a Giselle kid.
Remember, he had a kid with John Edward. His name's John Edward Thomas Monahan, Bridget Monahan's son.
Who the fuck is Bridget Monahan?
Huh?
You don't remember that?
I forgot about this shit.
Tom Brady knocked up a
girl. I forgot about this.
How many does he have with Giselle?
Two.
Was that Giselle's kid?
Vivian. I think it was Tom. It was the Bridget Monahan's kid.
Well, I assume she's really hot too.
Yeah.
Look, we're just gonna. I assume that chick is dead to me. I assume every one of his offspring is Giselle's. I don't even want to talk about whoever that other person is.
Well, did you see how nuts Giselle was going at the Super Bowl?
Well, where she's certified. She's a known crazy person.
No, but I think you need a ride or die girl like that.
Is she?
Oh, dude. I mean, she's a known.
Well, you have
she's
to be.
A bit of a nut. Remember when Brady?
She's the top of her. Like she's at the top of her game.
The last
of course
time
she's
they
crazy.
Lost a Super Bowl, she was like in the tunnel, like. Get my husband some fucking players who can catch the ball. Like screaming shit. Like
is that your accent for her?
I guess that's not what she sounds like.
She's Brazilian, right?
Yeah.
That was all I've got. It was like
was
a mix
kind
of French,
Russian. Kind of Russian.
French and Russian, maybe. But anyway, I think she's got a little crazy in her. And I love that.
Imagine having those genes in your just running through your body. If you were half Giselle, half Tom, like, come on.
What do you do?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You
just sell your seed for the rest of your life? Like, what do you do?
No matter what, you cannot live up to your parents. You will have a shitty life compared to your parents. You will not be as successful as either of your parents.
Dude, maybe. You don't know that.
Okay, just looking at it now, it was Giselle's son, too. It was Benjamin. Benjamin.
Okay, so that kid has to do drugs because that's what you do. You realize, holy shit, I will never be as good as my dad.
Look at Giselle.
And my mom is insane. So we're watching the video now of her. Her moves, her celebratory moves are bad.
You know how you see like a crazy mom who's in the stands when her son's playing for like a state championship and they're like about to win?
Perfect analogy.
That's what she looks like. She's just going nuts for her kid.
She's doing like a version of the lasso where she's whipping her hand around her head like, I don't know what the fuck she... And then
pounding her chest, going
she's holding
five,
up a five,
five
for five,
five
rings.
Just incredible.
Unbelievable.
Like round
that family.
Up.
That's a perfect family.
Yeah, it's the American dream, dude. Here's the great thing.
Tom
about
Brady
this
makes the second most out of the he and his wife. Like she makes more money than him
by far.
Yeah,
I think by far.
Well,
He's not even one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. I don't think.
Well, he doesn't have to be. He takes less money so they can spread the love around and fill out the roster.
I saw a Twitter joke that was about. It was like Oh, what a surprise. The white American with the hot foreign model wife upsets the, like comes from behind or whatever.
Talking about breaking the rules, too.
The cheating white American with the hot model wife or whatever. The Trump comparison is too real.
Yeah.
Is way too real. And, like, the fact that Brady is a Trump guy, the fact that Belichick is a Trump guy... The fact that Trump repeatedly openly says like comments on their relationship.
My friend Tom Brady.
Oh my God, dude. That was white America versus black America. There's never been a more racially divided game ever. And it could not have been more brutal in the end.
Brady is continually asked about his relationship with Trump in the press, and he just won't answer the question.
Because he's been told not to.
Yeah, I know, but it's so funny that you can't even be friends with Donald Trump at this
point.
Who's
the president?
That's how much of a piece of shit he is.
He's the president, and you have to deny your relationship.
Yeah, we've met before.
I know him from around.
So bad.
Yeah, we don't like text or anything.
Like, if it was Obama, a widely beloved president, but, oh, yeah, we're boys, man.
We talk all the time.
Yeah.
We're playing ball the other day.
Yeah. We hit the fucking gym together, but no, he has to lie, pretend he doesn't even like the guy, which is very funny, but...
It's sad that that's the leader of our country and no one is allowed to even like him.
Yeah. Oh, man. But that was...
But like, other than the Trumpish, the whole Trump thing, Tom Brady's pretty self-aware. You see, his social media post, the other day?
Yeah, he's got a good social media game.
Great social media game.
Well, but also pretending that an athlete or celebrity's social media game is indicative of their self-awareness.
It's an intern.
Is incorrect. Yeah.
It's not an intern.
It could be an intern. It can be.
That guy's brand is worth more money than most countries. What is the economic thing
GDP?
They always throw? GDP? GDP?
Yeah.
What does it stand for?
Gross domestic product.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
You're welcome to the listeners out there that are trying to get economically savvy. You just got learned. Yeah, his brand is he's got dudes. He's got handlers running that shit. But his social media is great. He put up that video of his kid dabbing. Which I mean his brand, maybe not him, but his brand at least, you're right, is self-aware, is self-deprecating, and it's funny.
The other day he threw up the photo of him throwing that pick six and trying to make a tackle.
Yes. Well, it's the image of him running towards the guy who's got the interception I've got this. And then the second picture right after it was him fucking laid out attempting to... Which, funny now, not funny if they lose that game.
No.
Not something he ever laughs about if they lose, obviously.
I think I saw Ian Rappaport tweet saying that during halftime, Brady was just smashing things in the locker room. He was just berserk.
Dude, have you seen any of the NFL mic'd up stuff yet? Edelman was mic'd up when he made the greatest catch of all time. And
I've not seen that.
It's awesome because he gets up and he's like, I caught it. And the corner, the safety, whoever's back there is like, bullshit. No, you didn't. Not a catch. No way. He's waving it off. And Edelman's like, I caught it. I'm serious, dude. I caught it. Look. Pointing at the big screen. He's like, fucking caught it. Freaking Jesus. Out. Apparently also, before the third quarter started on the bench to Brady, he was like, it's going to be a hell of a story, man. Let's do this, baby. Let's get out. They had not given up. Well, clearly, but...
Four-time Super Bowl champion before that.
By the way, not the greatest catch of all time.
No, but a great catch. A fantastic catch.
A lucky catch. If you compare it to the catch
the Julio catch was better.
Yeah.
That was a better catch. Yeah. If you compare it to a catch like Odell Beckham, the one-handed against Dallas... That was a holy fuck, how does a human being do that catch?
Right.
Edelman's was just in the moment.
How did this happen?
How did that happen? Exactly.
Yeah. I think of everybody on the Atlanta Falcons, though, I feel the worst for Julio Jones. Because legitimately, every time they threw the ball to him, he just made it an outrageous catch.
By the way,
catch.
He is by far the best receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't
that
think
That guy
any
is
question.
Absolutely incredible.
I don't think
I just didn't
any
understand.
Anymore.
He was getting double covered, triple covered, and he would just catch it. Why didn't Matt Ryan just keep throwing
the catch he
just
made should have iced the game.
Yeah,
it'll be one of the great forgotten catches in NFL history because they lost.
He's absolutely amazing.
But yeah, I agree with you. The Edelman catch can't be considered one of the greatest catches of all time in that sense.
It was kind of just sitting there for him
because it was a fucking miracle.
It was it was
an act of
it
God.
It would bounce around and it happened to appear in front of his face and he snatched it before it hit the ground.
He was
great
shocked.
Catch, but it wasn't a really impressive physical feat.
This wasn't
feet.
A catch you stand up afterwards and you're like, that's right, motherfucker.
How
did
he do that? No. Beckham, yes.
Yeah. This is one where you stand up and you're yelling at the Jumbotron, oh my God, I caught it.
Yeah,
which is exactly what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's typical white guy, great awareness.
Ball was
there for him to grab.
Very scrappy move.
Yeah.
Head on his shoulders, head on his swivel. Yeah. No, I mean, that was, you can't ask for much more than that in a Super Bowl.
It was an incredible game.
As much as I hate to see the Patriots win,
I just want to know how many people actually tuned out halfway through. Mark Wahlberg left.
Yeah, that was weird. And he put up a post after because he was getting fried.
Yeah,
the sick son,
sick kid excuse.
Fake. That's fake
I
news.
I totally agree.
That is an excuse.
It is fake.
He
news.
Left because he thought they had lost.
I think
and that's a big Boston guy.
Yeah,
big Boston guy. He was ashamed.
I think he was furious.
He was and he was mad, and he was and afterward he was ashamed that he left.
And he was getting fried.
And he used his son as a fucking scapegoat.
Even if your kid is sick and you don't leave that game.
No,
you,
exactly. Yeah. Go lay down in the suite.
Yeah,
bring him
in the press box.
It,
go to the bathroom. Well, like,
you don't leave.
He tried to paint
lock
the picture.
Him in a stall.
Unless he's seizing, you don't leave that game.
Shove him in a closet.
He tried to paint the picture that he's like sitting up in the nosebleeds or something with his sick kid.
Yeah, like come
bro,
on, dude.
Like you don't have somebody who can take the kid back to the fucking super cool
go buy him
buffet.
Some, go buy him some fucking nachos and get back to the game.
But they, you know what I'm talking about when you're in those incredible like rich people seats.
Yeah, well, yeah,
there's always
suite,
like
I'm
an
sure.
area you can go back to.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, go back and lay down in the suite. There's probably a,
yeah.
like a leather
bed.
Couch
there's
back
a fucking
there.
Bed
there's
back
a
bed. There probably. Fucking bed with like the most.
Suck it up, kid.
Yeah, dude.
That Mark Wahlberg, total. You lied about your son.
He needs to come clean.
No, he lied.
Wahlberg is a it, and this, the thing about him is he has a history of outrageous statements. He said he could have stopped 9/11.
He doesn't masturbate.
He said he doesn't masturbate because he doesn't understand the fundamental concept
I believe
of masturbation.
That, though. I believe Mark Wahlberg has never masturbated.
What if you have so much sex that you never have to masturbate?
He's one of those guys.
He just doesn't get it. He says he doesn't understand. Like anyway, the guy's full of shit.
Yeah, he is.
There's no way his kid being sick is the reason they left early. He fucking gave up. He thought the game was over. Just admit it.
I bet you even like made his kid stay home from school the next day. No, he was perfectly healthy. Like,
right.
Yeah, you're not going in.
You're not going to school.
We have to sell this.
Right. No,
John, I feel fine, Dad. What are you talking about? No, you're sick.
Dude, Mark's Boston strong. He would never do that.
See,
no,
he's
he
full
lied.
Of shit. He's a faker. What is the movie where he plays Dirk Diggler called?
Boogie Nights.
Man, I finally watched that like a year or two ago. I'd never seen it.
Burt Reynolds.
What a fucking great movie.
It's an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Great character, Dirk Diggler.
Feast on this.
Yeah, Marky Mark needs to...
John C. Reilly.
He needs to own up to the lie that he told the American people because that was just...
You left and your team pulled off the greatest comeback in NFL history. Well,
he was like,
in
I
Super
had
Bowl
a phone.
History.
I mean, he was probably legitimately... Like, his son and himself were probably legitimately sick after the fact that they left that
game.
Yeah,
when they saw what they had fucking done.
Yeah.
Scum.
That shit should follow you for the rest of your life. You should have to own up to it and wear some type of scarlet letter that lets the public know...
You shouldn't be allowed to go back to a Patriots game.
I left the Patriots game when they were down.
That's the greatest crime you can commit as a spectator.
As a sports fan.
Yeah, it is.
It's a classic move my dad used to pull when we were getting blown out in Philadelphia. He would always just
like your Little League games? He would just leave in the sixth inning when you were getting blown out?
Yeah, he'd just leave.
Fuck
me. He's
this
like,
shit.
You're going to get a ride back from somebody else, Dan. But no, whenever we go to like Phillies or Eagles games and they're getting blown out, he'd be like, we got to beat traffic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sitting in this
well,
traffic.
Well, it's a little bit more understandable if it's a regular season game.
No.
A little bit.
Well, it happens
the
all the time
Bowl.
In a regular season game.
Right.
It happens all the time. Basketball team's down 25, half the stadium empties
well,
out.
Yeah.
Everybody that left gets shamed.
When there's no chance of a comeback,
yeah.
Go ahead and beat traffic
they,
out of there.
They show people banging on the doors like, wait, let us back in. We realize there's a fucking
yeah,
crazy
like,
comeback
like
happening.
Like the Miami Heat, the whole thing that went on with the Spurs finals a
right.
few years back. I get that, though, because they're Miami Heat fans, and, like, that's just what they do.
But if you're Mark Wahlberg.
But you're Mark Wahlberg.
You're the symbol of the Boston people.
You just made a movie about saving, single-handedly, like, saving Boston.
He's Boston through and through, and he's very proud
he's
of it. He just fucked up bad.
In a starring in a movie about the Boston bombing in theaters right now.
Yeah.
Right now, which you can cut as a check for that plug. What is the movie called? Does anybody know?
Boston
look up,
Strong, maybe?
No. That would be a good name. I'm not saying it wouldn't be. But I think it's called something else.
I'll tell you right now.
Patriots Day.
I was way off.
The movie's called Patriots Day. You fucking, what, dude. Like, I mean, and that's got to be part of it. You know he immediately realized, oh my God. I am starring in a movie called Patriots Day. I just bailed on the game when the Patriots came back. I have to use my kid. You're sick. And now he's probably poisoning his kid.
Yeah, he probably got his son actually sick
he's
on purpose.
He's going to kill his kid on purpose
yeah.
to hide this lie. One of the big scandals in American history.
Didn't he actually, like, pretty much beat a dude nearly to death back in the day?
I don't know.
When he was a kid?
No idea.
Okay.
He's all of about 5'6".
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's a scrappy
I guy. Just can't get over anybody in the world who would claim that any man who would claim that they have never masturbated and that they don't understand fundamentally the act of masturbation.
And that he could have single-handedly stopped 9/11 from happening.
And then if he had been on the plane, he would have stopped 9/11.
I believe that, too.
Any other Super Bowl points of discussion?
I guess we have to talk about the fucking prop bets.
Do we need to? I won. We had a prop bet challenge on mybookie.ag, and as the Patriots' comeback was engineered, so was my comeback. Dylan had hit. You want to talk about how many you hit?
So I hit 5 of 6 of my prop bets. I was keeping a mental record of them.
And these weren't easy props.
Well, a couple of them were easy,
but not.
I hit the coin toss. I hit the under on the national anthem. The first big one I hit, which was a 4.5 to 1 payout. I put $100 on the Falcons scoring the first points of the game via
running
rushing
touchdown.
Yeah. And when that hit, I was like, I've got this.
Yeah.
I was up huge on everybody.
It was over.
It was over.
It was as over as the game was. It ran in perfect parallel with the game.
And then Gaga appears on the roof. I won that one. Julio Jones had like one more receiving yard, I think.
No, they had the same amount, 74 yards each.
I won the bet.
Yeah.
No, because
you had plus
1.5
yardage.
It was 1.5?
You had plus one, plus 0.5 yardage. So as long as Julio and Edelman had either the same yards receiving or Julio had more, you were going to win.
Oh, I thought it was just an even.
It was plus 1.5.
Oh, okay. So I won that one too.
Yeah.
So I'd won 5 of 6. The one I lost was I picked Lady Gaga's first song incorrectly. So this whole game, not only was I happy that the Patriots are getting blown out and likely going to lose the game, I was about to make $750 from our friends at my bookie. So I'm happy. I'm on top of the world right now.
And I had given up. I wouldn't even pay attention to the prop bets.
So then the Patriots mount their comeback, and they pull off the most ridiculous comeback I've ever seen in my life, and then they force overtime with two. By the way, they had to get two-point conversions. That's not even talked about very much. That's impressive too.
And they did it
so
easily.
They forced overtime, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, I'm still winning this by a lot. But I think I remember that Ross had chosen one of the prop bets that the Patriots would lose by a specific amount of points.
That they would win by 4 to 6 points.
Well, I didn't remember what it was, but I knew that you had played some kind of crazy bet like that paid off huge. And so I went and looked at your betting ticket, and I saw that it was if the Patriots won by either 4, 5, or 6 points, then you won an 8 to 1 payout, and you bet $100 on it. You put $100 on it that would happen, and I was like, oh, fuck. Because the Patriots, of course, there's no – if you score a touchdown in overtime, you don't kick the extra point because the game's over. That would be a 6-point victory, and that's exactly what happened. So Ross won $800 on that one bet.
Yeah. It was,
and I was just completely.
I had written. It off.
I was devastated.
I had written it off in my mind, and I had completely forgotten that if you win opening drive of overtime, if you score a touchdown, there is no extra point. The game is over.
I had to inform Ross via text message that he was about to win $750. He had no idea.
I was like, "Oh shit, you're right."
So
I fucking have 4 to 6 points.
I think you won 2 of your prop bets. Is that correct?
Yeah. The other one I won was that there would be a missed extra point in the game was plus 300, and I had $100 on that too.
So the final tally was I was up $1,270. We started off with 500, mind you. So I had $1,270, and Ross, his final tally was $1,290
something. Yeah,
he beat me by $20, and I was beside myself. I was pissed
on literally the last play of the game, in the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL.
Oh, yeah. It was just a shit night. And I had just watched one of the greatest games of all time, and I was fucking pissed. I didn't have a horse in the race.
I think it was last in the contest, actually.
Oh.
It's also ironic.
I got 5 of 6.
Like, let's be real about something here. So the whole thing was mybookie.ag had given us each $500 to bet on these props with, and then they set odds. Well, let's be real. Brad Key, our fucking ad guy, in the office, set these odds.
But they're pretty well done.
They ended up being I was favorite and I won. you were second favorite and you should have won. Like,
I was third favorite, but I last
Dan got crushed.
There was not a single Peyton Manning commercial.
Dude.
Biggest upset of the night.
That was a little weird. It was a little weird.
It's like they purposely took Peyton out of like the Super Bowl.
I thought that was a lock that he was going to be in at least, what was it, 1.5? Was it minus 1.5?
Over 1.5, yeah.
But zero Peyton Manning appearances, no mentions of Peyton Manning. I think we finally moved on as a country.
But has Peyton moved on?
I don't know. The fucking Peyton on Sunday morning commercials.
And like before the Super Bowl, I saw Papa John's is the official pizza sponsor of the Super Bowl. I'm like, all right. Like, I might as well. I was going to put in my own money. I was going to hammer that with like my own money, put in like another $1,000. Thank God I didn't. But
yeah, I was in shock.
But shocking.
Thanks to mybookie.ag for hooking us up with this contest and hooking me up with the $750.
Yeah, we're all really happy for you.
Sorry to tell you.
You should take me to lunch at least.
I will. I'll take you to lunch.
All right.
All right, we're going to get a word in here from some of our other podcasts at Grand X Media.
If you're listening to me right now, you like sports.
If you're not listening to us right now, we don't know how you're hearing this.
But you are listening to me regardless. So why not check out the TFM?
No, that was good though. That was good. We started off good. You're getting better.
Okay, we'll start one more time. If you're listening to me right now, you like sports.
If you're not listening to me right now, I don't know who exactly I'm talking to.
But you're definitely listening to me right now. So why not check out the Inside TFM podcast?
Every Thursday, we're coming at you with college stories, fraternity stories, alcohol stories.
All the stories that your ears can handle.
A lot of stories. Dan, tell us more about the stories.
Stories.
That's right. Exactly what we needed to hear.
That's
listen
right.
to the TFM podcast. We're coming at you every Thursday. Listen and subscribe on iTunes.
You're sitting at your desk. You're bored. You're combing through spreadsheets wondering how the hell you're supposed to distract yourself. You know what the answer is to that? The Touching Base podcast.
You got time to kill, baby. Kill it with us, Touching Base. Just give us a shot to earn your business. I promise we will not let you down. Thank you.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Hey, you looking for a new podcast? Give Dudes Doing Business a shot. We are a business podcast. We give you insight into what we're doing here at the company, but we also bring in people from the outside, some third-party folks to come on and talk to us, because business is a sport, as a wise man once said.
That was you, right?
That was not me, but it may as well be, because I've adopted it as my moniker.
There you go.
It's
yeah,
my life now.
Fresh out of school, stuck in, you know, cubicle purgatory, no matter where you're at. We're just business without buzzwords, so I think we might improve that commute of yours just a little bit.
Dudes Doing Business. Check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud.
All right, again, thanks to mybookie.ag for hooking us up with the Super Bowl Prop Bet Challenge. Go to mybookie.ag, use the code BACKDOOR. It's one word. When you make your initial deposit, you will get a 50% matching bonus. So if you put in $500, you'll get $250. 50% of whatever you put in, they will match it and give you that money for free. Use the code BACKDOOR when you sign up and make a deposit. MyBookie.ag has in-game live betting. So if you miss kickoff or whatever, I guess football season's over. So now tip off. then you can get in there and make a bet anyway. It's a great platform, great, easy-to-use website, mybookie.ag. Use the code BACKDOOR. Get that 50% matching bonus. That is it.
You play, you win, you get paid, and you're not a pussy.
That's true.
Check out my bookie.
Now it's time for the Obscure Sports Minute. And our obscure sport is apparently eating. That's a sport now.
We're just going to get to the results.
The 25th Wing Bowl.
It was the biggest event of the weekend. Wing Bowl 25. And our boy, Notorious B.O.B., Notorious Bob.
Notorious Bob.
Housed 409 wings in 30 minutes.
Jesus.
Clean, what? Like, and you got to clean the bone.
Holy fuck.
409 wings in 30 minutes.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that many. That's kind of that's just made me a little
so
sick.
I believe he's won this contest before. He's from Limerick, Pennsylvania.
I don't fundamentally understand how people can put that kind of food inside their bodies.
Hold on. Does the guy who won, is that him up the very top?
Micah just won't stop scrolling. Who knows?
No, but I mean, the event was electric. They had Ric Flair there in a Flyers jersey.
We
had Ric Flair here.
Let's quickly talk about that since Ric Flair is on the Inside TFM podcast this week. So check out the Inside TFM podcast. The great Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, was in our office.
He's just all over the
place. I heard it got awkward.
Yeah, apparently.
I haven't listened yet. I don't know if I can. I don't like awkward
conversations. He's a sexual man in his old age.
We did have our photographer, Tasha, in studio.
Well, I heard y'all ask him about his plane crash, like as a fun like icebreaker. He's like, oh, yeah, people died in that plane crash.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily the direction we wanted the interview to go.
You're like, oh.
And then we asked him about hazing, and he was like very anti-hazing, and we're just like, oh, okay, that's not exactly how we expected
well,
to answer
that
question.
I didn't know he survived a plane crash. That's pretty cool.
He survived a plane crash, and he's
it's
been struck
cool.
by lightning like
died.
Twice.
Well, don't give the whole thing away. Go listen to the Inside TFM if you want to hear more about Ric Flair.
If you like awkward icebreakers, go listen to the Ric Flair interview and on
just completely TFM. Derails the interview.
And horny old men. Anyway, so Wing Bowl. Back to the Wing Bowl.
So
Ric Flair was there.
Ric Flair was there. This dude housed 409 wings. But I think the biggest story of Wing Bowl was the triumphant return of El Wingador, former champion.
Fantastic name. Yep. El Wingador.
El Wingador. He just got out of the clink. Did 2 years for cocaine possession.
Nice.
but drug trafficking.
Oh, okay. Good.
So cocaine trafficking. And
El Wingador, free from prison to play new role at Wing Bowl.
Yeah, unfortunately, he wasn't actually in the Wing Bowl.
His real name is Bill Simmons. Bill El Wingador Simmons. That's incredible.
He just showed up to the Wing Bowl, did a little exhibition.
If you're going to call yourself El Wingador.
A few wings.
So did he compete?
No, he had his own little segment. It was like an exhibition type deal.
Okay. So
he's not in playing shape yet. He just got out of the clink.
Maybe was not allowed to compete. Maybe still serving some kind of Wing Bowl suspension for cocaine smuggling.
I can't get over 409 wings in 30 minutes.
Dude, you ever
eat 15 and I feel like I need to throw up.
I was going
to
say, what's the most wings you've ever eaten in one sitting?
I think I can take down close to 20 wings.
I'd say somewhere between 15 and 20 is the most I've eaten.
Yeah,
in
these
one
are
sitting.
Traditional wings too.
Like, and you I feel like uncomfortable after
all that breading. Like yeah. What?
But it's so good though.
No, they're so good. But when you're 409,
the thing is too, notorious B.O.B. He's a competitive eater though.
So sure.
I
you
feel like
it's,
of course
it's ruining the sanctity of the sport.
Why is
especially
that?
At Wing Bowl? Because it used to just be like watermen. And
oh,
just like
regular guys out of the bar.
It used to just be union guys coming to the Wing Bowl and just trying to eat as many wings as they could. And then all of a sudden, there's some money getting invested into it. And these professional eaters started to come in and just started destroying people.
But that's what happens with everything in life. Everything good in life gets picked up by the general public, gets out to California, makes it to Hollywood, and it gets destroyed. So here's what you have to do. All the watermen and the everymen and the normal dudes. We need to come up with something else. So what's next? We've done hot dogs. They ruined that. We've done wings. They ruined that. We need something else.
There's a competitive eating for like almost all kinds of food.
Yeah, but we need something big like the Wing Bowl.
Is there competitive drinking?
I don't know. The movie Beer Fest.
That's
too dangerous, man. Yeah.
Great
movie. People will die.
Great. Highly underrated movie.
It is a good movie.
It's true. I remember a few years ago they had a competitive water drinking contest and somebody died.
What?
So
that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, that can fuck you up, dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, somebody died on the radio.
Real quick, I have a water drinking story. I was on probation for 3.5 years, and at one point I had a court date where I had to take a piss test, like a surprise piss test. So I'm drinking a ton of water because they take you into this room in the Harris County Courthouse, and there's this big black dude standing 1 foot behind you. There's mirrors in every angle so that he can see your dick to make sure it's your dick and not a fake thing.
Nice.
So he's just staring at it, and I've got, you know, I couldn't pee because I'm freaking out. And I was probably high, so I had, you know, I was going to fail this drug test. So I had to drink so much water, I kept having to go back into the bathroom. I couldn't pee. They'd take me out. They'd put me back at the back of the line. For like 4 hours, I drank so much water that I got sick. And it was... That day is the day I learned and found out, like, you can die.
Yeah, your lungs will fill up and
you overhydrate,
like, basically drown.
And you drown, yeah. That's basically what happened. I fucking had no idea. So I was sitting there. I probably drank, like, several gallons of water over the course of these few hours. And then when I finally broke the seal, I unleashed the gates of hell. It was it was just insane.
So, yeah, I guess the story must have been, like, at least a decade now. Because they were, maybe not, but they were... competing for a Nintendo Wii. So this chick died for a Nintendo Wii that she wanted to get for herself.
Oh, she was Asian for sure. Ric Flair would love her, whoever this girl is.
Oh, yeah. A little tease for the TFM podcast interview. Loves Asian women. Big
loves,
Asian guy.
Loves them.
It was in 2007.
There was a guy who, it was the hazing story. Some kid died because the actives made him drink a bottle of soy sauce. And he died of salt poisoning.
Sodium poisoning?
He got sodium poisoning.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing either until that kid died. So thanks to that.
Yeah, so
kid.
Take it easy on the sodium out there.
Too much of anything will fucking kill you. I think that's been proven.
Maybe.
You know, anything. Too much of anything.
Everything in moderation.
I can't do that, though. I'm not good at that. Anyway, Let's take it to the Backdoor Cover Hotline. We've got a hotline. The number is 800-392-6344. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Give us your first name, your school, your state, your city, whatever. I don't know. Identify your fucking self in some way. Ask us a question or sing us a song or rap, whatever. It's getting weird in there. Again, 800-392-6344, the Backdoor Cover Hotline. Here's our call from this week.
Hey, boys, what it is? Look, I just caught that episode a few weeks ago. Chillin' D, my man. You right about them Cali girls, bruh. They busted with their bleach blonde head asses. I ain't about that fake shit. I like my girls more natural. Ha! Let DJ Crom Dog tell you about her. It's for the fat bitches. They like them sweet things. They like the Haagen-Dazs. You know the ice cream. Strap on your feed bag and whip your kitty out. Take this nut, girl. We can call it takeout. This ain't disrespect. I got love for them. That's why I grab the check, then I let my wood go on. Ha! Hey, how about that Super Bowl, though, man? I had the Dirty Birds going. I thought they had it, man. That defense was looking sharp, but you can't count out Tom Terrific, whatever the fuck they call him, man. He's a goat. That's all there is to it, man. Hey, ladies, Valentine's is coming up, so maybe get your man something fresh at Man's Outfitter. Homies, get you some pussy, then hop on my bookie. It's where the money at. We got NBA. We got college hoops. It's lit. Basketball season, baby. Hey, this DJ Crom Dog putting it down on Backdoor Cover. All love to the homies. Crom Dog, out.
I love that, dude.
I'm the biggest Crom Dog fan.
First of all, he started that
never
call
change
doing a I was almost like a Muhammad Ali impersonation. Will Smith as Muhammad Ali.
Here's what I find impressive with DJ Crom Dog. I assume he doesn't call multiple times and like mess up. If this was me, if I had like a rhyme written down that I was gonna drop over the phone, he has one shot at this basically.
Yeah.
He's not gonna hang up like, oh Micah, I messed up, let me try again and call back. Like that's a one take.
They call him one take in prison.
One take Crom Dog. Crom Dog, I'm impressed by you. Keep doing your thing, and thank you for plugging our sponsors.
Is he getting
that's
paid?
Unnecessary, but thank you.
Is he getting paid by these guys? Is he getting hit up? Like, is he somehow pulling?
No, yeah.
Honestly, we should just start having him do
all of our.
He's actually cutting. He's cutting a beat for us. Is that right,
promos.
Micah?
Yeah.
He's putting something together for us. So we'll be waiting on that.
I think he's getting paid under the table.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Because something weird's going on. What did he have a question?
No, he just wanted to talk with us.
Something about you love fat chicks?
Hey,
shout out
to
Strap not big on Cali girls.
Strap on your feed bags.
He's Team Dylan.
Man, fucking weird. That's the only call we have this week. Again, 800-392-6344. Thanks for calling in, Crom Dog. He's also on Twitter now.
He's funny on Twitter.
And he's always on. He must drink a lot of caffeine, that guy.
Caffeine, Adderall.
Or whatever.
Okay. No
Adderall.
Plays off.
Because he's hyper as fuck. You got any shouts? Shouts to the city of Atlanta and all the citizens there.
Shouts to Alex George. Keep chugging.
Keep your head up. Listen to a lot of Tupac this week to try to get through it. Stay
positive.
I'd say
it's going
to
get better, but it's probably not.
Sports-wise, probably not.
No. We need a pro team here, man.
It's an MLS team. Let's go.
Shouts to the city council of Austin, Texas, who will almost definitely not fucking honor that request by us to even make a side attempt.
They won't even put another road in the city.
We can't even have Uber. We can't even build a new road.
Yeah, get off your asses and do something cool.
Seriously. The time is now to shine.
Give your people hope.
People want to move here. We're hot. Let's do something weird. And not an F1 track.
Yeah, let's get fucking weird.
I don't care about
IndyCar. The F1 track. That was a weird move.
Casino would be cool.
Well, they got to legalize gambling first. But yeah, I see your point.
I guess there's a few steps before.
Yeah.
We can't just build one.
In hopes that we can use it.
Let's see if we can do this, huh?
Yeah, let's get a bunny ranch in here too, and hopefully they legalize prostitution.
Yeah.
Let's get some weed dispensaries.
Hope for the best.
No.
All right.
Knock it all out.
Fucking.
That was good.
That's
I had
it.
Fun with you guys.
I had fun with you, man. I enjoy you.
I enjoy you more.
I enjoy you too.
All right. We're out of here.
Later.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.